I wrestled with this message. I wrestled getting started. Sometimes we do that. Pastors do that. Sometimes, for various reasons, it's difficult to kind of get your footing, traction, or maybe it's just someplace you're not really wanting to go. And yet the Lord's saying, no, this is really where I want you to go. And I'll tell you why I wrestled with it. Because when I get into this, what this is about change. Everybody loves change, don't we?
Oh, yes.
Love it. Just love change. I don't really mind change too much, but honestly, we've been here for 3 years now, and I'm feeling kind of comfortable, and you know, we're rolling along. Even in the midst of Corona, we just kept on and going. And we're going to keep on going. Kind of this continued, just, hey, we do worship, we have the word, we have classes, people get born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we get to grow people up and help them grow up so that, man, you can do this for others. That's really the bottom line of what this is about. I'm comfortable there. Guess what? Don't shut me off now. Don't tune out, okay? We're looking at some changes. That's partly why I wrestled with this message. And I don't think it's a change that you're going to be against. I'm not against it, not at all. But it is a change because it means things sometimes will be really different. And the title of this message is called Revival. Starting the fire. Okay? Now this entails change for us as individuals and as a church. I don't mean going wacky. I mean all the weirdness that comes sometimes from revival and what revival is. I want to walk us through this over the next couple of weeks because I want you to understand where I believe the Lord is leading us. I've been talking about revival off and on for a long time. It is in my heart. I want revival. I want revival for me. Yeah. I want revival for you.
Amen.
God wants revival for his church. In the midst of this awful demonic battle going on in our country and our world around us now, and it is awful, the division, the hatred, the destruction, the evil, absolute evil that's, I believe, more than has ever been in our government and our leadership, ever. I mean, it's been, listen, the United States government has pretty much been corrupt for a long time.
Amen.
I mean, it's a fact. There's a lot of hidden agendas and things that go on that we never know about until it gets exposed later on. But now it's just wide open. And it is evil. It is against righteousness and godliness. The division being perpetrated and continuing on between peoples, races, bringing lawlessness. Hurt, destruction. It's a spread of darkness. Real stuff. It's the world we live in now. And we are going to continue to live in this world until the Lord returns or we go home. Now, I don't know about you. I read the news, what passes for the news, For the first time in a couple of weeks, I read it Friday and some yesterday. And I didn't even read the in-depth, but I had about all I could take. And as I'm reading through this, I'm thinking, you know, this onslaught, this battle's been going on for several years now. It's gotten worse. Of course, we knew it was coming. We knew it was going to be worse. And we knew that it was going to be a battle. And we knew that it was going to be against, really, righteousness and godliness. It flat out is. It's demonic. It's antichrist. That's the bottom line. Can we all agree? Okay. I hate when people bring political agendas into church. Now, this is not a political agenda. This is a spiritual fact. That's what this is. And that's what we're in the midst of. In the middle of these kind of things, and this is how important this is now, people get weary. We are being lambasted, pummeled, I mean, continually with the most negative, awful, ungodly, horrible, evil things all the time. And Christians, when I say Christians, I mean really disciples of Jesus Christ or followers of Jesus, because everybody's a Christian, right? According to the world. Are getting weary. Anybody feel weary besides me? Thank you. When I say weary, I don't mean weary in your walk with the Lord. I mean weary in seeing and hearing this stuff go on around us all the time. All the time. Well, it comes right out of the pit of hell. And it can make you weary. For any of us, if we're noticing anything at all, if we're alive and breathing and we're out there and we're walking with Jesus, it's wearying because it is in your face continually. It is against you and the one who lives in you. It's hatred toward Jesus. It's absolute hatred toward him and Christians. Of course, it's going to get worse. They persecuted Jesus, they're going to persecute us, but boy, I'm telling you, that's real stuff. The battle is wearying. It just is. And at times, the point of this is to make you and I give up. Back off. Quit. That's the point of this whole thing. Either that, or just destroy your life, my life, destroy the church. So, God has made ways for his people to be recharged. Revival. Real, true, Holy Spirit led, Holy Spirit fed revival for his church, his people. And that's in a reality. Now that's personally, and that's with the body itself. I know, you know, that there are things you know when you're a pastor, you just know, because the Lord speaks to us. You know, we can't do this without hearing him, right? I know the Lord wants to bring revival to us and to this church. I know that. I have known that for a while. This is why I wrestled with this message, because now it's time. It's time, and it means change. And man, it's not easy to go through change sometimes. It's good, but it's not easy. Our lives are never going to go back to the old normal. Ever. Ever. Okay? The blind is leading the blind to death all around us. God has revival for us. Go to Luke chapter 11, please. Luke chapter 11. I want to build this because over the next couple of weeks, I really want to lay out what revival means for us. What is revival? Anybody? I'm going to open it up for a minute. I kind of like this. What is revival? Who's got it? Raise your hand. Renewing your spirit. What else?
Freedom.
What else?
Rekindling
of your passion. Excitement for what God has done. Awakening. Awakening. Where do you think we get the awakening from?
Bringing life to
dead places. Dead places. Yes. All of those things. Anybody else?
Renewal.
New revelation. Good. Renewal. Okay, you got a good handle on this. You know, revival, we had deliverance. We have pictures of revival that are kind of all over the board. I'm not talking about you all. These are the answers. These are true. This is right. This is right on. Because I'm going to read the definition of revival in a minute. But revival, awakening, is real. It is God's plan for his church. It is God's plan for his people. It is his plan. It is his desire. You know, Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the plans I have for you. Good, not evil. Future and a hope. Peace. I'm paraphrasing. You know, revival is included in that. I promise. Revival. For those that walk with him and sometimes get weary. Revival. 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 Wow. Well, let me start. Luke chapter 11. Verses 11 through 13. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Now come on, we know these things aren't going to happen if somebody loves their child, right? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Now I want to explain real quick what this means. The Holy Spirit is the best gift.
Yes.
Why? Yes. Why is the Holy Spirit the best gift? You know, I want you to think about that, because the reason Jesus is saying this, the Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. It is comes down to eternal life, being born again. It only happens via the Holy Spirit. And within the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit really taking residence in us, opens the doors for every other gift that comes with salvation, including the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but including healing and salvation. I mean, healing and deliverance and preservation, and of course, the righteousness of God. What a gift! Not based on us, based on him. It opens the doors for gifts, for deliverance from everything that we could get stuck in our lives, every sin. Because people, even born again, grace believers, get stuck in sin. Man, he's provided all the way out. It's a gift. You can't have anything better than the gift of God's grace to us. That really means the wholeness, the fullness of salvation and everything that comes with it. Because God opens heaven. The promises for us through salvation. We got it all. We got it all at that point. The gift of the Holy Spirit is everything that comes through salvation. Everything. Everything. So, God the Father is a giver of good gifts. Now, again, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is included in this. With speaking in tongues. We are not cessationists. A cessationist believes that after the last of the 12 apostles, so forth, died, I'm just going to use it as a reference, that the Holy Spirit was yanked out of here. The power and the might and the majesty of the Holy Spirit was yanked out of here. And now we just do this on our own. Sorry. You can't make that happen in the Word. I mean, you can move the Word around and probably make it happen, but it doesn't happen. We are not cessationist. We know that by the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is alive and well and powerful and moving right now today. And the gifts of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, salvation through Him when He seals our spirit, all that happens now, right now, today, in these days. Jumping ahead, I got a little off track. Jumping ahead, after Jesus was raised from the dead, after His death, burial, and resurrection, how to make these quick. He said, Luke 24:49, go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. I'm going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit a little bit. Wait for the promise of the Father. That was the initial outpouring, the first outpouring, the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because He's not done. Acts 1:8, He said, you will receive power when this happens. And you will be witnesses about Me to all the world. That wasn't just for then, it was till He comes back. And then the disciples went into Jerusalem to wait for the fulfillment of His word. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all in agreement for this outpouring. All of them. There was no division. There was no reservation. There was no holding back. They all wanted the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. All of them wanted the promise of God. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This was the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I want to be really clear. We call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it was the immersion into Him, His gifts, His presence, His power, His move. And He is not done. Go to Joel, please. Joel, page 724. Joel. Joel's a prophet to Israel. Joel is also a last days prophet. He also spoke about things in the last days. Okay? And I want you to hear this application. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Now we typically understand that to be what happened in Acts chapter 2 in Jerusalem with the disciples that were waiting on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the promise from the Father, which Jesus had mentioned. Right? All you charismatics? Okay. Verse 30. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. This prophecy is for now. Yes, the Spirit was poured out nearly 2,000 years ago. But the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in these areas and more. What Joel is speaking about is last days before Jesus' return. We're there. He's speaking about right now. Verse 32, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. This prophecy, this prophetic word from Joel is for us. Because God has been and is wanting to pour out His Spirit. You know, the baptism of the Spirit really is once. But the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival is more. It's more than once for us, for His body, and for His church. God's answer to our weariness is revival for His people. Now here's the definition of revival. It is when the Holy Spirit reawakens God's people, His church, from sleep, which a lot of the church is asleep still. A lot of the church still is stuck, not seeing, understanding, or believing, or wanting to believe where we are right now and how close this time is to the end. They're saying, it's not real. Wow. And they're asleep. If you've ever read Revelation chapters 1, 2, and 3, when Jesus is speaking to the churches, oh my gosh. These are some of the churches He's speaking to. When I say churches, I mean people. Revival is when the Holy Spirit reawakens God's people from dormancy. Dormancy is setting. It's sedentary. It's not doing anything. It's, why are we here? Okay, I'm saved. Great. That's my answer. I go on. You know, I can live the way I want to live. I want to do my own thing. Dormancy. Stagnation. Wow. This is where weariness comes in, okay? And weariness. And He awakens with an outpouring of His presence, His holiness, His power, His gifts, His love, His glory, His magnificence. He awakens us with an even deeper love for Him and His Word and His church. He awakens with the conviction of sin and the desire for repentance. In growth and righteousness. And finally, awakens us to the supernatural display of His power toward us and for us. That's revival. I want it. I really do. Now, it means some things. This message today is to really start the fire. We have a fire pit at home. And man, you know, sometimes I used to be a Boy Scout. I thought I knew how to start a fire. Sometimes I have the most difficult time starting a fire. And I'm out there working on it and doing things and squirting charcoal lighter on it and sticking papers underneath it, and it just smolders. It's stagnant. And the fire won't start. And then I get it. There's some keys to starting the fire. That's what the Lord wants to take us through. Because when it starts, it takes off. And the Lord wants to start the fire in us and for us and in this body. That's what this is. He wants revival for us. Amen. How many want revival? Yes. Because you don't have to have it. Thank you. Nobody has to have it if you don't want it. If you want it, I mean, you really got to want it. You can't just say, oh, ho-hum, I'll go along with everybody else. You have to want revival. This is what it is to be in one accord. All of us that want revival here in this church are in one accord and going to be in one accord. And I'm going to share next week what that really means. Because I expect to see revival in myself and in this church. You got to want it and be in one accord, be in agreement with each other and with His will. Now, here's the clincher, because you know there is one, right? There's a cost. There is a cost. It can get messy. This is for real. I mean, it can get messy. When we want revival, and we're in agreement, and we're seeking Him for His will, from our hearts, and He opens the doors, opens heaven, and He begins to manifest, show Himself, reveal Himself, reveal His glory, reveal His presence in ways we've only had a glimpse, in ways that will totally consume or change us. Ways that will change our whole world. Change the reality of what we're living in or for. Change us. And manifestations of power that can get a little unnerving. I've seen things that just blew me away. Were they real? Yes, they were. I don't take anything at face value. I've seen God move in some ways that mind blow, because he's reviving us and who he is. He's reviving his people, his church, with the reality of who he is and what he has for us. His glory. And he's getting our eyes fixed and focused off of this nonsense and evil onto him. And flesh can come out. If you've ever been in a... We've had it here. Sometimes flesh comes out. When I say flesh, I mean there's nothing spirit in it. It just isn't. Sometimes people don't know any better. They just don't. That's okay. That's why we're here. Is to help. Right? I want to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now, when flesh comes out, okay, we take care of it, right? And sometimes the demonic comes out. Okay, we just take care of that, right? The whole point of what the Lord wants to do is recharge his people with who he is, with his power in our lives, and with his presence. If you've ever sat in the presence of God that's so tangible and so thick you can't move, it happened to me one time. I have never forgotten it. Years ago when I first met Pastor Rosie, wow, that was a long time ago. Whew. Oh, it's been awesome since then. I was leading a Bible study, and Rosie came to the Bible study. She was checking it out. She thought, oh, this is weird. I was leading a Bible study, and I'd been doing this for a while, about 6 months. And one day, you know, we were in prayer, those of us that were there early, we were in prayer and kind of prepping the way. And I felt God. I've had a lot of supernatural experiences. I never felt this. The only way I can explain it was like a cloud over me, and a weight and a holiness. And the weight just continued to press. And I mean, I'm standing up and I couldn't move. I sat down on the floor and I could not move. I sat there for 2 hours. Was it? Whatever it was, I couldn't say, I couldn't speak. I have never had that happen before. I am a skeptic. But I wanted him. I always have. And I sat there, and I just sat there, and the presence of God sat on me, rested on me in his glory and his awesomeness and magnificence. Now, what if that happens here? We good with it? Because that's part of what he wants to do. So things can and will get a little messy. And it's change. It's change for us. It's revival and wanting to have revival. And it, again, it's personal and it's for the body. It is the Holy Spirit opening the doors of heaven for us. Doing the will of God for us, manifesting incredible supernatural manifestations. I mean, displaying himself. Man, our God is bigger than that world's God.
Amen.
Way bigger. The other part of the cost, besides it getting messy, is we're going to give up our sedentary lifestyle, our comfort zone, our judgments, our pride, our egos, our prejudices. And without reserve, we're going to open our hearts to His will for revival for us. That's the cost. Messy and leaving the junk behind and going forward fully with your heart. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Here's how it works. Jesus is speaking. He says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." Want revival? We have to ask. We have to want it. We have to ask. We have to seek. I so desire an outpouring. I don't know about you, but I get weary also. Pastors get weary. People get weary. We all do. I want revival. I'm not willing to sit and be comfortable anymore. Same old, same old, same old. I want Him. And I want it all. That's my heart. Our new normal, the one that God has for us, if we can get this into us, is revival. That's what it is. Our new normal is revival. God's will, God's way. Holy Spirit led. Holy Spirit opened up. Holy Spirit manifested for Jesus. Now, all of you that want revival, stand up, please. Because I'd really like to ask you to come on up here with me. We're going to agree for our own selves and for this church. That's all. We're going to make it really simple. I want revival. And again, it's not comfortable. There's so many times it's just plain old not comfortable. Just go ahead and spread out, please. It will. I promise you, it will shake up your comfort zone. I guarantee you. It will do it. And it will change you. Because it's God manifesting Himself to us and for us. Amen? Come on. Come on, y'all. Come on up. I mean, listen, we got lots of room over there. Lots of room over there. Lonnie, help them fill that place. Now look. Come on, come on. It's okay. I want you to understand that I mean this, okay? This is not pie in the sky. This is something that God has put on my heart for a long time. And again, I've wrestled with it because I know it means change. Change for me, change for you, change for our church.
Yes.
Will it draw the lost?
Yes.
Absolutely. Will it draw judgment from others?
Yes.
Absolutely. Will it draw the enemy? Yep. Will it draw the miraculous?
Yes.
Absolutely. Will you be edified, fulfilled, built up, and revived like never before? Absolutely. Because the power and the presence of God wants to fill your life and this place and revive you and revive us. So, close your eyes, because He's going to take us at our word. Okay? Don't say this if you don't mean it. We're giving our word to God. Will you repeat this after me? Because I want us to do this together. Lord.
Lord.
From all of my heart.
From all of my heart.
And all that I am.
I want revival.
I want it for my life.
I want it for the church.
I want all you have
for me.
I'm not going to quit on this. I'm going to press in. I'm going to pay the price. And go forward
into revival.
I believe you.
I know the outpouring is coming.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. All we did was make a simple commitment to the Lord. But in this commitment, from our hearts, has opened the doors for Him to move, change, magnify Himself. Do some things we have never seen in this body and in our lives. We've given Him the okay from our hearts. We have said, yes, I want revival. Even if it's uncomfortable, no matter what the changes are, we're all in. I want you to understand what you just did. Because we mean this. Okay? Hallelujah. Well, Father God, I thank you for revival. I thank you, Jesus, for revival for us in your church. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for manifesting. Lord, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know what you're going to do or how you're going to do it, but I know you're going to do it. I know you're going to pour out on us. I know that. And we're going to seek you. Till we see it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes. Now I'm going to ask you, all of you, in your time during the week, when you're having time with the Lord and you're in prayer, and I want you to seek Him for revival. I mean, I want you to put it in your time of prayer and make it a part of what you pray for.
Yes, sir.
For real. Don't just give it lip service, but let it be from your heart, because we're going to start seeking God for all that He has for us. I've never been satisfied. We have lots of supernatural happen here, but boy, we're not done at all. This is what God has brought us this far for and brought us into. This is His grace.
Amen.
Amen. So let's move forward. Stay in prayer. Okay? And be expecting.
Yes.
And expect to be blessed and amazed by God.
Yes. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Praise God. Praise God.